recently, some folks that I work with back in Houston had decided to leave the company and pursue a different job. And so they called me and they said, hey, would you act as a reference for me? And I said, you know, sure, I would do that. And so sure enough, a couple of days later, a person calls and says, I'd like to ask you about Chris. You know, Chris is one of the folks I worked with. And, you know, what kind of guy is Chris? I mean, does he know this or know that? You know, technical qualifications. And I said, well, sure, he knows these things. Well, what else can you tell me about Chris? So I talked about Chris a little bit. Then the gentleman says, well, what kind of guy is Chris? Well, what's he really, I mean, you ever had problems with Chris ever? You know, I said, well, can you help me understand that a little bit more? Well, I mean, does he show up on time? Does he do what he says he's going to do? Does he do his expenses right? And he asked me, you know, really good questions about the character of Chris. Then a few days later, another person calls me and I want to talk about Mike. Mike's applied for a job here with us in Denver, Colorado, and want to ask about Mike. Kind of the same conversation, you know, about his technical skills and his selling skills, and give me examples of, you know, how you've worked together, and so on and so on and so on. Finally got to the question, well, tell me about Mike's character. Tell me about Mike's integrity. Tell me about the real Mike. You know, is Mike an upstanding guy? Does he steal from the company? You know, you could get the drift. So that kind of made me think about our day and time today, and our character is really all we have to offer to people. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight is character. And there used to be a show, I think, on TV a long ago called Family Matters. Was that a show, Family Matters? Was that the name of the show? Well, so tonight it's Character Matters is the title of what we're going to be speaking about today. So as we think about these things together tonight, let's ponder our own character and ways we might be able to improve it. And at the end of this, I hope to have some specific charges for all of us in the room, so we can improve our character and improve the character, especially of our children and grandchildren. So we all know what. I switched these two slides. You know, I went down and looked the other day for a lot of slogans. You know, these inspirational slogans. You'll see them, you know, published in different ways. But here's some about people's character. I'm not going to read them. I'll let you read them. But the one that does stick in my mind is the fourth one down. Character is much easier kept than recovered. And these are all truisms, right? All these are just fundamental truisms in life. Our character is what we do when we think no one is looking. And for the young people in the class, that's one that I want to impress upon you, the audience tonight, I want to impress upon you that particular one. Because that is so true. So, kind of get a setup here. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We know what character means. We know what integrity means. The character is the aggregate features of, you know, who we are as a person, as a human being. Integrity is to hold fast to a series of ethical principles. Or if you think about integrity of a coin or integrity of a memento, is it real? At Microsoft, we have this thing called genuine, is the word we use. And the big discussion are coming all the time is, in China, we have 95% market share, but only 5% paid market share. Because in China, people copy our software, and pass it around. And so, you know, we work really hard on the word genuine. Is it real? Is it real? Is it authentic? And so that's really what we're talking about when we talk about integrity. It's a state of being whole or entire. And so these are the things that we should be striving for every day of our lives. There's some biblical concepts about the word character or integrity. If you would look with me at 2 Peter chapter 2, a lot of these verses are real familiar to us tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, sorry, verses 3 through 5. I think that's right, isn't it? No, it looks like chapter 1. Here we go. Chapter 3 through 5. Seeing that His divine power has granted us to everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, in order to attain these things, for this very reason, apply all diligence. In your faith, apply moral excellence. Some versions might have the word virtue there, right? But that's what we're talking about, this whole notion of integrity, virtue, moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, supply knowledge. Your knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. So on and so on. So the notion here that is being written by Peter is supply moral excellence. Supply virtue to everything you do. If you look at the word integrity, it comes to the Greek word integra. For those of us who are mathematics people, what does that word also take you to? The word integer, right? Integer or integral or whatever that word is. I'm not a math guy. I can add numbers really good, but I'm not a math guy. Whole, right? Whole means whole. If you look in Psalms 26:2, David talks about this in Psalms 26:2. In fact, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This is kind of getting to the whole point of our lesson here today. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth, and I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. There's a lot of good attributes there about integrity, right? In that short set of verses regarding, you know, David's plea to have God be with him. Finally, proven character. And we talked about this, I'm sure I was not here the Sunday that Mike did the lesson on deacons, but we'll look at the Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. Again, very familiar scriptures to you. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Also in 2 Corinthians 2:9, Philippians 2:2, and in, you know, 1 Timothy, and if you look at the qualifications of deacons, one of those specific ones is the word proven or tested. The same concept of, do they have the moral fabric, the moral character? Have they been tested in life by which to discharge the duties that they have in front of them? So there's several different examples of us as Christians being put to the test to have this proven character, to have this integrity, to have this virtue, to have this moral excellence. And we should be giving ourselves a report card on this each and every day. The word I like the most about all these words is the word tested. Are we really tested? And because when you're tested and you pass the test, it absolutely helps you build your character. If you take the test and you fail the test, you have work to do. So I like that word, tested. Who in the New Testament might be a good example of a person who was really tested, and why were they tested so diligently, so hard, and then how did they come through that those tests? And I would offer to you the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, well, Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian and after he became a Christian, was very, you know, he was very diligent in everything that he did. But after he became a Christian, he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about all the hardships he had to endure as a Christian. And you've read all these before, but you know, this man Paul I would submit to you, he had a very strong, tested character. And in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about all the things that happened to him. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I the more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times beaten, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposure. This man had tremendous hardships in life. Tremendous hardships in life, but he remained faithful in all of that. And I would hope that it would have made him stronger in life going through all of these hardships. It would be easy to give up. It would be easy to turn the other way. It would be easy to be soft. It would be easy to, you know, lay it off on somebody else. But I would say that Paul stuck through it to the very end. Now, why did he do this? If you look just a few chapters before, you know, why did he take upon all of these terrible things? Chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. Why did he take across all these difficult things? Verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all compare. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul had this hope that in the end he would have this great glory with God. And we should be thinking about him as an example. And the reward, of course, he talks about in Philippians chapter 3. If you flip over to Philippians chapter 3, he talks about of the reward that he was looking forward to. In verses 3 through 7 through 16 of Philippians chapter 3. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, and I may be found in him, having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I'll just submit to you that Paul, I believe, over his life demonstrated, given all of his hardships and trials, all the tribulations, he stayed with it. He was strong in the faith, and he stayed strong in the faith to get that great reward in heaven at the end. If you look at ourselves now, let's turn a little bit and just look at ourselves as we compare. If you read there in Titus, the second chapter, talks about older men, older women, younger women, younger men. And if you read those verses, this concept of moral excellence and character can be found there. But I really want to focus on Mark 7, verses 14 through 23. It's a parable in the book of Mark that I think gives us good context for our character. Mark 7, verses 14 through 23. Mark 7, verses 14 through 23. And after he called the multitude to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him, But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. Verse 16, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 17, and when leaving the multitude, he entered the house, and the disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated? And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So really, it's our heart that he's talking about here. What's in our heart will govern our character at the end of the day. And as we begin to move towards application, I really want us to be thinking as parents about the hearts of our children. And as grandparents, I want us to be thinking about the hearts of our grandchildren. And as young people, I want to challenge you to think about your own heart and the kind of information and things that you're taking into your life every day. I think it's a very huge problem in this country. The constant barrage of information that can be assimilated into one's heart. And so to me, the main message that we're going to just kind of talk about now from here on out is, how are we building our hearts of ourselves, and how are we building the hearts of our children to sustain what is coming at them every day? We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. What we think influences what we do. How we think impacts us. It's important, to kind of the bottom two there, why is it important to think on good things? It's important because just what we've read about in the book of Mark, the antithesis of that is, are you putting good things in your heart? Are you putting violent things in your heart? Are you putting things that shouldn't be even in your day-to-day life in your heart? Or are you thinking, as it talks about in Colossians chapter 3, my most favorite book in the scriptures, Colossians chapter 3. One day I'm going to do a lesson on Colossians chapter 3. I'm saving it for just the right time. But turn over there with me, Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Two key words in those four scriptures. You should underline the word seeking in verse 1, seeking the things above. And then second word is in verse 2, set your mind on things above. Seek, set. And those are two really powerful, demonstrative words that you need to be thinking about every day. So our application. We talked a little bit about that a minute ago. You know, when you're in the workplace, men and women, when you're in the workplace, is there dishonesty that occurs? Is there cheating that occurs? Is there lying that occurs? Are they, you know, is the blame game going on in your work? Is it somebody else's fault when something goes wrong, and maybe, you know, you're laying it off on someone else when you have a part in it? Because things sometimes go wrong at work, and sometimes it doesn't go right sometimes. Do you watch television that's inappropriate? Do you watch movies that might be inappropriate? And let's talk about the internet for a minute. The internet's a very powerful tool. And you can find out about anything you want on the internet. And I would challenge all the parents here, especially those who have young children, to monitor, and when you finish with that, monitor some more. Because you cannot monitor that enough. I have seen grown men fall prey to the inappropriateness of the internet. Not because they necessarily intended to, but because they're men. And I would say that men have a huge problem, generally speaking, with the lust of the eye. I'll just speak plainly about that, right? It's easy. Men are attracted to women. Men are attracted to the shape of a woman. We have to be careful about that. We have to be very, very careful about that, men. And the example we set for our family and our co-workers and those that we come about. It's, I've just seen, and maybe you have as well, I've just seen a lot of problems that exist with men and boys and the influence of the internet. And I would offer, I've done this in my life. I make no mistake, I have put monitoring software on my kids' computers when they're in college so I can find out what they're doing, where they're going on the internet. Because sometimes these young people will go and they will go to college. They may go to college and live at home, but they may go to college and live somewhere else. I still have it today for my youngest son. It's called Safe Eyes. And I get a report every Saturday night from that tool that shows where my son's been going. And we've had discussions about that. Although he lives far away from me, I'm still the dad. And he has to abide by, I hope, his learnings. But again, that internet's very powerful. That's sort of the genesis of the lesson. Pornography is everywhere on the internet. And so even the youngest children that will be 8 or 9 years old, please be careful about how you provide computers and technology to your children, because they'll find ways, maybe unintended, but they will find ways. Do we have impure speech? Do we have the right kinds of friends? And again, I would say that us in this room who are parents, we have the greatest responsibility to show the right example. So this is kind of a sobering thought, but I just wanted us to maybe speak plainly about the consequence of sin. It can be a terrible thing, and I want to protect all of these young people here, and Alan and Eric's kids and Juan's kids and Bruce's girls. Our job is to protect all these young people. And we're all going to have to work on it together. And us as adults, we also are tempted about these kinds of things. And so we need help from our spouses and from maybe another Christian. If you find yourself being lured into things that are inappropriate, you know, talk to someone so we can help each other overcome these kinds of things. And here's some things you might want to think about to overcome. If you look in James chapter 1, great book, the book of James. James 1:25. And I guess, I'm not sure, does Nike still have that slogan, "Just Do It"? I don't know if they still have that. Do they still have that, guys? Okay, they still have it. So verse 25 in James chapter 1. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If you look at 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So if you think about, you know, these verses right here, you know, what we're trying to get across is, you know, we have to look intently at the law that God has put in front of us. We have to do our best every day to live up to that standard and be one of these effectual doers of the law. So how do you do that? Again, I would offer the following ideas on this page. If you've got a problem in your life, get rid of the problem. Turn it loose. Get rid of the internet. If the internet's causing your problems, get rid of it at home. If the TV's causing your problems, get rid of the TV. There's nothing worth it. There's nothing worth much on TV anyway, except sports. And even that, on Sunday afternoons in the fall, even that, right? They mix sexual pleasure with football. Even that in our day-to-day lives. I would say Duck Dynasty, but I'm not sure everybody knows what Duck Dynasty is here, but that's the other show. Those people in Duck Dynasty are members of the church. They attend an institutional church in West Monroe, Louisiana. If you've not watched Duck Dynasty, it's on Wednesday nights. I've told people, I said, the problem is with that show is I know people like that. Is the problem with that show. I know people like that. But here's the things I think we ought to be thinking about, especially the bottom two. Remove the temptations. And us as parents, us as grandparents, us as Christians have a responsibility, one to another, to model the way. To ensure that we do everything we can to protect ourselves, protect our children, and protect God's flock. And that's my admonition to us all here this evening. We live in a very worldly world. You think about what happened here 2 weeks ago, that person, I guess the word they use now, that person was radicalized. That's the word they use about that. It was that gentleman that set those bombs off. He was radicalized. What does that mean? He was radicalized. He had his mind and his heart changed. Is what he had happened to him, right? His parents might have done a great job bringing him up. Might have, done the best they could, and he was a good young man, in quotes. But someone got a hold of his mind and got a hold of his heart and took him to a path that has destroyed the lives of many, many people. Our job is to keep ourselves pure and free from the stain of sin. And so I ask us all here this evening I'll go back to this. I wanted to finish with a couple of these also quotes. I like the bottom one. I like the bottom one on this page. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Isn't that so true? Right? All we really have is our character and our integrity. And I would challenge all of us to work hard every day to continue to improve our character, improve our integrity, and improve that, especially of our children and grandchildren and those we come in contact with every day. So what about each of us, myself included? Do you have the proper attitude in life? Do you have the proper character in life? Are you molding yourself into a person that has that great hope in heaven? Are you molding your children into that same way? I challenge us all to think about this and to get better at it every day. And these young people right here and with Alan right up here in the front, I cannot stress to you enough how important it is for you to flee from evil. God will give you a way out. Don't ever find yourself in a situation where you're alone in a bad spot where there's not someone that can rescue you. If you have a cell phone, call your parents. Don't ever get yourself caught in a place where bad things can happen. Because it can happen. I've seen it happen. Your parents have seen it happen. You may not believe your parents because you think they're not so smart, but your parents are really smart. And take their advice about these kinds of things, please. Your parents are really smart. So don't walk away from their advice and counsel. If you're here tonight, Bill's going to lead us in 3:17, I think it's all things are ready. Mm-hmm. All things are ready. Come to the feast. The baptistry is filled. If you're here and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He was crucified, that we might have a hope in heaven, and that then you need to make that move today. If there's something else that we can help you with here tonight, I would ask that you make it known to us, and we can do everything we can to help you. So if you would, Bill, stand and sing, and Bill will use this song.